As the conversation about opening borders continues here in Australia, there are fears of a second wave of COVID-19 in China. Chinese officials have cancelled scores of commercial flights in and out of the capital, Beijing, and the city alert level was raised with the total number of new infections reaching 137. It comes as British researchers say a new study shows a widely available drug could help save the lives of patients who are sick with the coronavirus. Professor Ben Cowling works at the WHO's Collaborating Centre for Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Control at the University of Hong Kong. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Firstly, let's talk about that drug, dexamethasone, and it's used fairly frequently, actually, when treating children with respiratory illness, croup, for instance. This is pretty good news, right?
Yeah, it's great that we found a drug that successfully benefits patients with severe COVID and can reduce mortality. I think it's really great news. I think we should still look for other drugs as well, because I'm sure we can find other drugs that work. But this is really great news.
Australia's chief nurse, Alison McMillan, spoke about the drug this afternoon. She cautiously welcomed the news about the study. Let's just take a listen.
Even if a treatment has been found, and we will need to see the published data, that does not in any way detract from the need for us to continue to prevent the spread across Australia.
So what do we need to know about the validity of this drug? We've heard about the US President Donald Trump taking anti-malaria drugs. How much more do we still need to know about this one?
For this drug, we haven't yet seen the full report of the randomized trial that's been done in the UK. So we'd like to see that. And we'd like it to go through peer review, publication in a scientific journal before we can be confident that the findings are, you know, reliable. But right now, it's done by a very trustworthy group, and they've rushed out this press release to announce the findings. So I'm really happy to hear the news.
Do we know much about why it wasn't considered earlier?
We'd had a short list of drugs that we thought would be most effective. That's remdesivir, some of the HIV drugs, the hydroxychloroquine mentioned by President Trump. Those have been tested in a number of trials. And I'm really glad that in the UK, they looked a little bit wider at some of the other drugs that might be helpful but hadn't been considered. And they've come up with this particular drug that that people hadn't really been thinking about. So it's great.
So what are the lessons then in terms of looking a bit wider?
We really need to have a plan to start these kind of trials in affected areas. That could be China, it could be Europe and America. In the event of another pandemic, we need to get the trials going really, really quickly so we can figure out what the best treatments are as soon as we can. Because this is relatively late. This is now June that we're finding out about this drug, 6 months into the pandemic.
Now there are fears of a second wave in Beijing. Do you think that's what's happening right now?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned that the first cases have been identified in this wholesale market. There's a hub, a lot of trucks coming in every day from around the country. And my suspicion is that infection came into this market, not from overseas, but from another part of China where maybe they hadn't recognized they were having some local infections. But if it's got to Beijing, I would not be surprised if there's also clusters of infection in other parts of the country that haven't yet been recognized.
So are there things we could be doing better to achieve suppression for the longer term so we don't do this stop, start, stop, start?
We've got to look at ways of keeping transmission at lower levels while returning a little bit to normal. And one of the observations we've made in Hong Kong and also in other parts of the world is the phenomenon of super spreading, where a minority of the infected cases, so among all the infected cases, a minority of those are responsible for the majority of transmission. And so a few cases are spreading it to lots of others. Most cases don't spread it to anyone at all. If we can reduce the opportunities for super spreading to occur, so if those highly contagious cases can't spread it to 20, 30, 40, 50 other people, if that can't happen, then we can really keep transmission at a lower level. So the way to do that is to stop larger groups from gathering together, particularly indoors, stop crowding larger numbers of people together, and stop the opportunities for these kind of events to occur.
What about social distancing and being allowed to spend hours in the same room as other people as long as we're physically distant? Is there any new thinking on that?
Most of the transmission that we've been aware of is when people spend time together for a prolonged period of time in the same room, not necessarily very close to each other, but in the same room. So the 2 meter rule is a rule of thumb, but I think the duration of close contact is almost more important than the distance. And so I wouldn't mind brushing shoulders with other people, but I don't really want to spend time in a bar or a nightclub or a busy room, a busy place with lots and lots of other people, because that's when we've seen outbreaks occur. That's when we've seen transmission occur.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Professor Ben Cowling is part of the World Health Organization's Collaborating Center for Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Control at the University of Hong Kong. This is RN Drive.